Now on UK Health Radio, treat yourself to an upgrade. Pack away your low self-esteem. Leave behind that empty feeling. Stow your fears and doubts in the overhead locker. And go from stress to authentic success with Danielle Sachs.
Beautiful you, welcome to another show, From Stress to Authentic Success. And today I'm going to do something totally different, something that I haven't done in the almost three years that we are doing this show. We're going to embark on a journey of understanding and compassion as we're going to go into the topic of transgender identity. Now, I know it's a subject that is both sensitive and profoundly relevant in today's society. Now, transgender individuals are, of course, those whose gender identity differs from the sex that they were assigned at birth, while gender identity is deeply personal and unique to each individual. The transgender people often experience significant challenges in navigating that world that we have today that may not fully understand or accept their identity. And so this is a sensitive subject, but I got in contact with someone who said to me that it was really worthwhile to interview Bex Sawyer. Bex is one of Britain's most loved mediums. She of course was born as a man. And so the journey of self-discovery and self-affirmation for transgender individuals was really complex and not without a lot of challenges and obstacles. So from coming to terms with one's identity to facing the discrimination, the stigma, all the social pressures, these individuals often demonstrate immense courage and resilience in asserting their authentic selves. And this show is all about authenticity, isn't it? The authentic success, being authentic exactly with who you are, being in alignment with who you are meant to be, and having that courage to be true to yourself, to live the life true to yourself. And I think interviewing Bex is a courageous thing for me because I haven't done it before. But I've known in my younger years, when I was 12, 13 years old, and that is about 50 years ago, I was a very good friend with a girlfriend of mine who was the first in Belgium to change her gender, and who today is a very, very amazing male that is really living his life exactly as he wanted to be. And so what we're going to look at as well is we're going to look at the psychological and emotional aspects. I'm sure Bex Sawyer is going to give us a great conversation because this talking about the medical interventions, the surgeries, the hormone therapy, we need to talk about the physical appearances on how they change that. So despite all the challenges that these people may face, these individuals continue to advocate for their visibility, for their acceptance, for their equality. So I really think it's worth your while to listen to this interview and see and have a bit of compassion and kindness towards this person who I'm going to interview. And so let's explore all these complexities and see what the biggest stress was in Beck's life, how she, you know, did this whole transition, what it meant to her. And so I'm really looking forward to this. And I hope it's going to be an insightful conversation with her personal story, with some expert insights, because she's been through it. And I have to say that Bex, just before we're going to have a little break, she is a clairsentient. Now, I don't know that term. I believe it has to do with the fact that she literally feels and senses spirit. And so her work is described by many as truly healing, including helping real relationships between those still alive and the loved ones who have passed. So I think this is going to be a really interesting conversation. And I'm going to have this little break, and we'll talk just after this little break on what I found insightful in this conversation. And maybe you got to recognize certain things, or from people you love, or we'll see what comes out of this beautiful connection. So I'll give a little break and I'll come back to you just.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back, everybody. And here I am talking to Bex. Bex Sawyer, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Great to be here.
What I wanted to ask you first, because you have gone through an amazing journey, actually. So let's maybe start in the beginning. What was your biggest stress in your young adulthood or in your teenage years, or maybe even as a child? What has been your biggest stress in life?
That's easy to answer. The biggest stress was trying to be someone I wasn't, trying to fit into a mold, trying to conform, trying to be what was perceived as normal.
Yes.
And so every day was, it's a cliche, but every day was a lie, really, because you're trying to fit in and be normal. And forget however you define normal. Back in the day when I was younger, the normal wasn't what I am. So that was a continual stress. It wasn't just a stressful moment. It was always just trying. And as well as that, there was the incredible fear of being caught out, or, you know, because I was this man, this young boy, this man trying to live this illusion. And then what would happen is you're petrified someone's going to find your, you know, your secret. Because in those days, being transsexual, as I define myself, was a, you know, a dirty secret. Yeah. So it was a continual stress from a young age right the way through.
Yeah. I can imagine. And what does it do to the self-esteem, the self-worth of a young boy to experience this kind of inner world?
I think what I had, I love how you said the inner world, and it was exactly that. I had my secret world where I'd go to in my imagination. And then you've got the world where you're just trying to be a boy, a youngster, and especially as a teenager, because you don't fit in and you're trying to be one of the boys, but it never quite worked. So you end up the bottom rung of the ladder, and that's when you get bullied because you don't know how to interact on that masculine level, that masculine energy. It just doesn't fit in. And I didn't over-hyper-masculinize myself as I got older, but I got to a place where I thought I would never transition. I thought I would never be me. So you then become the best version of the man you can be. So I got involved in bodybuilding, I got involved in martial arts because you just want to be
typical
the best
masculine energy.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I was never hyper masculine in my like as an alpha male, but the body was very masculine. And I can remember once, many years ago, I had to go away on work, and I remember looking in this big mirror, and I was doing a lot of training. I looked amazing as a man. I just cried. Because it wasn't, and the whole transition was never planned. Okay. It was quite, that's quite a journey as well.
Can you tell me, what is there a moment in your life that you realized, Bex, that this is not me? Was it already very, very early in life? Is it like a wake-up call? Is it like an insight that you get that, or is it like a gradual kind of thing with you that you realize that you actually were maybe a girl in a boy's body?
I knew it for me. I knew from like the age of 4 or 5
Isn't
I just knew I wanted to be a girl, and you'd grow up just knowing that's what you wanted. And I can remember being, my memory's pretty vague, because I think you cut a lot of it out, but I can remember being out with my mum, and I can remember seeing a young girl and going, I want that dress. I want to be her. So, okay. and then eventually it's one of those things that is just constant. It doesn't really, it never came in waves with me. It was just always there. You can suppress
there.
Yeah, you can suppress it, and you can try and, you know, you try and just get on with life. But with me, the thought of transitioning was never an issue. It was never an option because my face then was so masculine. I've had 22 hours of facial surgery.
Is it?
Yeah. So my face was so masculine. The body was, I never thought I would ever get the opportunity to transition.
Okay. And so, what made you do it anyway? What happened in your life that you decided to be you?
It was never a decision. I didn't go, if you like, the normal route of transition where you this transition and you let everyone know. I had no intention of transitioning because I never thought it would be successful. I never thought it was an option. And I was with a wonderful partner at the time, and she was so supportive. And at the time, about 20 years ago, just as you was getting onto the internet, I found these surgeons that did something called facial feminization surgery.
Okay.
And I thought, oh my God, it's a white, you know, and I had no thought of transitioning. It was just if I could make my face look a little bit more feminine, or just so I didn't hate it so much. And I did a lot of research.
Was there a lot of hate in you?
Oh, I think the self-loathing, yeah, it becomes huge. I mean, you suppress it, but it's the whole thing of trying to exist in a reality that isn't yours. And, you know, there's worse things in the world, but it's constantly there. I actually went to Belgium for my first facial surgery, to a maxillofacial surgeon.
Wow.
My first surgery was 12 and a half hours of just bone work, facial bone work.
Wow.
Yeah, I've got, without being graphic, I've got 18 screws and 4 plates in my mouth. I've got a scarf right across the top of the head. It was quite intense.
Okay.
And then there was 2 rounds of soft tissue work. So, and bit by bit, as everything changed, it was a very slow journey for me. It was never planned. And even the gender surgery was just a gentle journey into it. And even now, I just say, I'm still a work in progress.
Okay.
You know, okay.
Have transformed the pain somehow into the purpose. I mean,
yeah.
Tell us a little bit about the positive. We've been talking about, you know, the negative. Tell us a little bit about how, indeed, because that's what you were telling me before we pushed record, how you became more you, more authentic and more. Just tell us a little bit about the positive.
Yeah, I think what's happened with the physical changes, the conversion, if you like, because I view the body as a car. It's a beautiful gift we're given when we're born, and we all abuse it sometimes, but it's just the vehicle we experience this lifetime with. So when I talk to people, I just say my body is a conversion job. The inside wasn't right, so I don't try anything. I'm not trying to be anything more than I am. I always make a joke that they've rebuilt my gearbox down there and they've changed a few things. So it let me move into being who I am. And I try not to put a label on male, female. I'm female, I'm feminine, but I also had the experiences of being a man, which for me, in a way is a blessing, because I was told once by a very wise shaman who said to me, Bex, you've had 2 lives in one lifetime.
Interesting.
And you know the pain experience that men go through, and you know the pain experience women go through, and that puts you in a unique place, especially with my work that I do. It puts you in a unique place with the healing that you can offer and you do, because I've come through that experience.
Yes. Wow. Okay. So is there something that you can tell us, any man listening, any woman listening, about what it is to be a man, and then what you think it is to be a woman, and what is the biggest stress of a man? That's actually quite an interesting question, because you know both. What is the biggest stress in a man's life?
Oh, that's
an interesting question, actually.
I think the biggest stress in a man's world Yeah, absolutely. I think the biggest stress in a man's life is trying to be good enough. You've frozen. I'm going to keep
No,
talking.
that's okay. Don't worry. Trying to
You've
be
frozen.
good
Oh my
enough?
goodness. Okay, I'll keep talking. If you can hear me, I'll keep
Yes,
talking.
that's absolutely fine. Because I can hear you well,
I
sir.
think the thing with a man is he's trying to be good enough.
Good enough, okay.
I'll keep talking. And I think with a man, it's that whole prep of being good enough. And then we've got the competition that men have to be better than the next person, because I think the alpha male is very, and again, I'm not really the best person to ask, because I never quite fitted into that whole genre of being, the alpha male. I always stepped back. I was always told how gentle I was, which is not surprising, really. But when you see men becoming competitive, it's based, I think, on their own insecurities and not being good enough.
Yes. But don't we have that all? Is that also, as a woman, for you, the biggest stress? Because in my book, I just want to say to you, Bex, and
Oh,
I've,
absolutely.
you know, I've written a book in 2015, and already that's, it's actually now, that's the core of my message in the world. What you're saying is that our biggest stress is the stress of not feeling good enough, of not being enough. That is our biggest stress from when we're born, you know, in our society. So what is then to you the biggest stress as a woman? Is that different to you?
You see, I don't come with the life experiences of a biological woman,
Okay.
but for me, I see the stress of my girlfriends
Yes.
of trying to also be good enough,
And
but the
fit
good enough
in.
is in a different way. With women, sometimes it's looking good enough, and you go, it doesn't matter what
Yes.
you look, it's who you are, and they worry about, are they good enough for their children? Are they looking after their parents? So there's the same stress, the same pressure of being good enough. But for men, it's in a different role to
Yes.
women. But it comes down to the same thing, as they all think, are they good enough? Can they do more? And the way they deal with it is different.
Yes, I
Women just
agree.
try harder and harder, and men can become angry and competitive. It's
Interesting.
very interesting when you talk
Yeah.
to, if I talk to a group of men and talk to a group of women, because I understand
Both worlds.
both camps.
Beautiful. So let's talk about you today. You know, do you feel good enough today?
Do you know what? I always say to people, it's like anything. It's when you talk about being good enough or are you happy? I
Yes.
always say that's all a journey. We're all a journey in progress. Some
It's
days
not the
I'm not.
destination, that's what you mean.
Exactly. Some days I feel brilliant. Some days I want to get under the duvet and not move for the day. But I think that's part of having this human experience,
Yes.
especially with the crazy world we're living in at the
Yes, I
moment.
agree. I
And I
agree.
think the hardest thing for people, and this comes out a lot with me, is people aren't kind enough to themselves.
That's beautifully said. Not kind enough to themselves, and so also often not kind enough to others. I mean, you know,
Exactly.
it
It's
goes
that, it's
from
like
the
that happy.
inside out, eh?
Yeah. And it's like happiness. People say to me a lot, Bex, I just want to be happy. Can you help me find my happy? I go, well, define happiness first. How
And
can
what
you
is it
find?
to you? What is
Yeah.
it to you, feeling happy,
Oh,
being
what
happy?
I love that question, because I always quote Mahatma Gandhi, or he's credited with saying it. And he said, supposedly, happiness is when what you say, what you do, what you feel, and what you think are in perfect harmony. In other words, you're living and speaking your truth. And when
Yes.
then you live in your truth, that gives you the space to find your happiness that you can then
Well
share with
done.
others.
Beautiful.
Because no one can make you happy. Because if you give someone that control to make you happy, they control your happiness. And if they leave
Yes.
you, they take your happy. But if you find that inner happiness, you can then share that, because you share it unconditionally. It's like love. Love is a force. When you live in a place of love, a place of that, when you find that, you're not in it every minute of every day, but when you find that place of happiness, you can then share it.
Wow. I agree. I totally agree with what you're saying. And in my practice too, I see a lot of people who have the outside success. That's actually what my masterclass is about, but who don't, feel the inner fulfillment, and they look good on the outside, and they have whatever it is, material world, what the body, everything. But inside, there's a lot of void or emptiness. And so that for me is a sign of society today. On social media, do you feel the same on social media? It's all about look at me and see where I am and what I'm doing and how I look. And then the inner world is empty sometimes.
And what they're doing is they're trying to use that outer world, the social media, to fill that inner void.
Yes.
Well, you can't.
No.
You're trying to get the out, and it might be you go and buy a brand new car, and that fills you for a week, for two weeks, for a month. But that inner void can only be found when you found that place of, I won't say, I could say spirituality, that place of inner peace, which only comes from working on yourself.
Yes.
And I know people probably like you who are very wealthy, doing very well, as you say, on the outside, but they're constantly looking for something else because they're not finding that fulfillment from within.
I know. I agree. So let's get a little bit personal for you today. How do you feel today? Do you feel that you, like Gandhi's quote, do you feel that you are in harmony with what you think, what you do, how, and I know it's a journey, but just tell us a little bit, because you have become a big, medium, like they call it in English, a clear sentient. I never heard that word before because, that's not my type of English that I, hear regularly. But can you explain a little bit what, from pain to purpose, who you are today in alignment with who you are and what is going on there?
Well, from the earliest age, I knew I wanted to blend or work with spirit.
Okay. And what is spirit to you?
Spirit to me, well, right, you and I talking, we're spirit, we're souls.
Yes.
We're incarnate, so we are within the car, in the body.
Yes, okay.
So when our body ends its time and we leave the body, we then become discarnate.
Mm-hmm.
So the role of a medium, and everyone is a medium because everyone is spirit.
Yes,
everyone,
I agree.
There is no gift to this. There is no big secret. I know a lot of mediums try and say there is. There is no secret. There is no special gift. We are all mediums because we are all spirit. Mm. But the role of the medium is to be, if you like, a mobile phone. So you take the discarnate spirit and they blend with you. So all I'm doing is blending with spirit, and I can narrate, I can give them a voice.
Mm.
And then you have the link that facilitates a beautiful reunion. And there's always a healing behind it. So what happened with me, in answer to your question, is as I went, I always want to do what I'm doing, but because of in the Mao energy where I was, I wasn't ready.
No, and in that time, I mean, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, there was no space for there was space, but very limited.
Exactly.
I think today there's much more openness for this kind of thing. Yeah,
exactly. And as I went through my own emotional and physical transitions and opening up to me, along came the right tutors, the right courses. And now that I teach mediumship, or I don't even call it that. I call it a journey of personal exploration.
Oh, interesting.
Because anyone can blend with spirit because we are spirit. But what gets in the way is the person's mind or consciousness or brain. So for me, I always say the journey of mediumship is the journey of personal exploration. And then you find jobs. So for me, I've moved more and more into this work. My work involves a lot of healing, and it can be healing relationships that never got healed before the person passes. So my whole purpose in life is my work. I live for my work. I get up in the morning. I do a little online meditation for people. I might then go to a yoga class, and my happiness, my fulfillment comes when I'm working. I call it getting in the power. You're blending and you're living. So I am so blessed that my work is my life, is my vocation, and is
That's why I'm saying that you've turned your pain into purpose.
Absolutely.
And into passion, because that's what you live for.
Yeah. And I was told once by a very, very good shaman, they said the best, not the best, but the most empathic mediums or healers have had the most pain, have had the toughest journeys.
Yes.
Because I experience, so if I feel so, I go, oh yeah, I remember that pain. I remember that frustration. And also, especially for me, if I'm working with a man reuniting, I can recognize male energy. I can recognize, oh, there's your characters, because I used to be in that social group. I used to have that feeling. So it makes, it just makes, I think the whole, I think everything I've gone through in life has led me to doing what I'm doing now.
Yes, I agree. I agree. That's really beautiful. I call it actually, I don't know if you've seen it, but you know, from stress to authentic success, I call it authentic success. Why? Because when you become who you are meant to be and you're doing that journey of authenticity, not like you said in the beginning, meeting the expectations of the norms and the outside world, but being exactly who you are, then success follows naturally, whatever that success is to you, because it's all energy. If you yeah. are in that alignment and you are in the energy that you, can you see? So that for me is authentic success. So can we say that you have gone from pain, from stress, from struggle to being today, cultivating that authentic success for yourself? Yeah.
I love that word. I love that authentic success. And I don't know if you do find your clients, as they're moving into that, do you find their definition of what they want from success changes?
Of course.
Because
in that way that, and it's a beautiful question, but in that way that it can be something totally different from what they thought success was to them. Yeah. At the same time, I always say you become a better parent, a different parent, partner. You know, yeah. Everything changes yeah. when you are true to yourself. And it takes a lot of courage. So tell us a little bit about how you feel courage is a big aspect, a big key mm-hmm. in being authentic.
Yeah, for me,
because I think you had a lot of courage. That's why I'm asking the question.
Yeah, that's a lovely thing for you to say. But for me, I my whole physical and emotional transition was so slow. I'd never have any plan for it. I didn't have to take this huge, there was a huge leap of faith at some point when I had to start telling people. But it was everything in my transition, both for my work, me as a person, my emotional and energetic me has been so slow. You can look over back at this, my goodness, that was a hell of a journey. But I suppose the best way of putting it is I didn't jump off a cliff. I abseiled down slowly.
Yes, I agree.
So it wasn't so crazy. But I think for anyone that, I think you get to a point where you can't do it anymore.
Mm. You don't have a choice anymore. You're with your back to the wall.
Mm. Yeah. And you just go, I can't keep doing this anymore. And,
no, because I think otherwise it might be destructive to your health and well-being. I mean, yeah, your body is going to show signals.
Yeah.
Mm. Did you get sick?
I'm actually quite lucky, really, for my age. I mean, I do take a lot of vitamins and minerals and stuff, but for my age, I think I'm doing okay. I'm not on any medication.
No, but I mean the stress.
Oh, and
that whole process, did you get really some serious signals that you had to transition, that you had to be who you are?
I think I was very good at masking it. Okay. Now people say to me, Bex, you're so much happier. Mm. My brother was chatting to me the other day, said, Bex, you don't realize how calm you've become.
Okay.
Mm. Obviously, we sometimes don't see our own changes. But mm-hmm. my brother, he said, you are not the person where you are. He said, where you're being you, there's a relaxed part of you that's mm-hmm. just come to the front. And I go, well, yeah, I guess that's it. You know, I'm happy seeing like leggings and like a t-shirt and a baggy jumper. But from the inside,
there's more inner peace. Like
exactly that. Mm. Exactly that. Yeah.
And can you tell me a little bit, because I think it's interesting. Not that it matters, but I do think we all need the love from our surroundings. So how did your surrounding react to this whole process? Because you're talking about your brother. Tell us a little yep. bit about that.
What happened with me, because I never went through a whole transition. I had my first facial surgery. So it was like 12 hours of bone work. Yes. I just told everyone I had a bad jaw and I had to have it fixed.
Okay.
Because 20 odd years ago, there wasn't the facial, there wasn't mm. the big, big public, the big publicity about being trans that there is these days.
But today, like, just give me a little bit. How do people react to the fact that you are Rebecca now, that you are Bex now?
I do you know what I find? Honesty is the best policy.
Yes. I'm just vulnerability.
Yeah, I just go, this is me. And if, like I said before we started, I said, you can ask me anything because the more open you are, that vulnerability goes because you are so open.
Yes.
And I think people respect honesty.
Yes.
You know, and they go, well, what happened here? How do you see yourself? And I just find the honesty is, and just the openness is the best way. And also, I just like being open. If you're open with someone and honest with someone, it tends to resonate with them and they start to open up to you.
I agree. Yes, I agree.
And that's where the change comes from.
Yeah.
For people.
I agree. So is there anything you want to tell people here? Someone who is listening and who is, let's be honest here, who is feeling that they're not born in the right body, like you've experienced. Is there a first advice that you would like to give them? Is that about being honest and just opening up and telling the truth about you? Is that it?
I think if someone isn't sure if they're in the right body or not, then they've got to explore that with a professional therapist or professional counselor.
Good advice.
If someone knows, like I do, I just know. And I know there's the trans umbrella now is very, very wide, all different types of people. I label myself as a transsexual because that's my, that was the word I knew 20, 30 years ago. So if someone knows that they are so in the wrong body, they still need that first step of talking to a professional therapist or counselor. Because one thing I will say to you, you can't do this on your own.
No, I agree.
And
but
it can
I
be...
feel that this, and I'm sure, Bex, that you're right, but I feel that in our society, and I often mention it, that in a serious situation like we are talking about today, it is imperative that they go for professional help. Yeah. But it's actually almost in every situation that you need support and help professionally. Mm-hmm. You know, I always say that you can't discuss those same topics and those same things with friends or family. They don't give you the helicopter view and the questions that you need to ask yourself. And it's still seen as a weakness, you know? Yeah. So do you agree? So that thing for me, what you said now, is one of the best advices you can give.
Yeah. And I'm what I also, the other thing I found over the years, people in the main, the majority of people are kind. They're getting on, and the majority of people are just getting on with their life. And for me, when people go, oh, you're trans, or I talk about it, or they ask a question, they get on with their life after they've spoken to me. It's not a big issue.
No, it's not about you.
No.
It's about them.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. And they go, well, how's that work? And it's, you know, with men, if a man come to one of my shows, I'll chat and go, well, how's it all work? Or, do you really want to know how it works? But you put them at their ease because often I might be the first trans person they've actually met.
Yeah, agree.
And it's just, and again, the more open. And coming back to your question, for me, it's being, the first step is that honesty with themselves, isn't it?
That's where it starts. That's why I said, you know, it's the honesty within, it's the vulnerability and the courage to be honest. Because I don't know if on my Instagram, you know, there's the book about this nurse who, you know, was doing some investigation and to see people on their deathbed, what was their biggest regret? And the biggest regret, you know, that it is the courage, not having had the courage to live a life true to themselves. So you, when you are going to transition to, you know, to the other side, you're not going to have that regret.
That's
because, and me neither. So that's, for me, is a big thing. Now, we're coming to the end of the interview. Just a short one. What, because I think there's a lot in this conversation. Is there any quote, you've mentioned already one, but is there any quote or statement that you live by today here in your daily life that you have like as a beacon, like I have, for example, if you change the way you look at things, the things you look at changed, you know, there's different things that we live by. Is there a quote or a statement or a maybe even just one value like honesty that you live by?
Yeah, heal people with kindness. It's easy. It's just as easy to be kind as it is to be spiteful or hateful.
Okay.
Just as I
And
say, I'm
what
not
do you mean
saying,
with heal people?
no, not heal. Kill people with kindness. So no matter what's going on, just be kind. You know, if someone's
Okay.
nasty to you, just be kind,
Okay.
because you know it's because that way it diffuses anything. And it's just a little
Okay.
saying that I quote it a lot. Kill
Okay.
people with kindness.
It's just a very strange word to kill people with
It's
kindness.
an English saying. It's an
Yeah,
English saying.
that's
So
why for me
someone,
it was like kill, heal, what? But
really, all it means
it's
is
beautiful.
if
Actually,
someone's
killing
if some,
people with kindness is a is honestly a very, very, very true statement.
if
It
someone
will
upsets
change
you,
your life, I think, if you do that.
it changes the mindset. Because we're talking about that, we're talking, so if someone's upset, you just be kind. Because the way I look at it, and this is only my work experience, is everyone is carrying pain,
Yes, I
Daniel.
agree.
Everyone is in pain of some description, and that can manifest. If it's grief, it can come out in anger. And it's not,
Yeah.
yes, it might be directed at me, but it's inward that they're just trying to deflect it.
Yeah, I know. So let's just maybe end with that
Sure.
to recognize that we all are in pain somehow.
Yeah.
You know, we all have pain to heal, and you know, and if you can transform your pain into purpose like you did, I just want to congratulate you and thank
Especially,
you
thank
for
you.
this beautiful conversation. And thank you so much, Bex. And I'll get back to the audience just now after this little break.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Thank you so much for being here with me again. And I think we have had a very unique show, a very special conversation here. It was also a first time for me because in those all those years that I'm doing this, I've never really had such a conversation with a transgender. And I believe that it is such a courageous thing to do when you hear the Bex journey, how many surgeries, what she's been going through to just give herself the permission to be who she was born to be. I found that so interesting because of course, these people, when they are born in a different sex, in a different identity, in a different body than the one they really want, they are trying to fit in. I think in so many people in our society, and it's not just about gender. I think it's a general thing that we all try to fit in the normal. But if our inner world is not complying to that, if we feel that there has to be more to life, if we feel that we're not born in the right body, if we feel that we are meant for more and for different, then I think it's our birthright to go through whatever we want to become more authentic, vulnerable, and ourselves. So that conversion that we talked about with Bex about how much sacrifice she had to in surgeries and all that she had to do, those facial surgeries, just alone that to have the face that wasn't that masculine anymore. Wow, I'm really impressed that someone has the courage to go that far and do that. And so it was interesting how Bex was telling us that because she has lived in both worlds, the men, the masculine world and the feminine world, how she defines that men are competitive and are trying to be good enough in a different way than women. Women try to be good enough more within the roles and the looks, she was saying. And I have to say that, you know, by now that one of my foundational messages is that stress, the chronic stress we live with the most, is the fear of not being good enough. So that fear was even now again discussed in this conversation. And so it isn't it beautiful how it's all about being happy with who we are. And what is happy? Happy to Bex, she was explaining it like Gandhi says, that what you say, what you think, what you do, and what you feel needs to be in harmony. And I can only confirm that is what I see in my practice every single week. When we are aligned with our thoughts, our feelings, our actions, when all that is aligned and with the same energy, then miracles happen. So that's where the energy of happiness lies. Excuse me. And so it is true that it is a journey. You are on a journey. I am on a journey. Bex is on a journey of personal exploration. We want to be the best version of ourselves. We want to improve our lives every day. But we can't do that if we don't first accept who we are and be in alignment with who we are. That's when you can even go to the better version of yourself. But you first need that stage of acceptance, of authenticity, of kindness, of compassion. And so there's a whole process in that. And Bex was mentioning the thing about honesty, and I can only agree with that. Being honest to ourselves. I just said it in my masterclass 2 days ago, how much we betray ourselves in our society just to be the norm, just to, go with the flow of society. And so there's nothing more important than having the courage and the honesty to be who you are, the courage to be true to yourself, as I said. It's one of the biggest regrets we have. That is what research shows. It is one of the biggest regrets that we do not have the courage to be true to ourselves when we go towards the end of our life. So the last thing I want to say here that Bex was, I actually have never heard this before, but Bex was mentioning the quote, "Kill people with kindness." Wow, I so love that. I first thought she said heal people with kindness, but it's about killing people with kindness. That is so beautiful. I remember a few months ago when I had a show with Brett Deaves. I think it's a whole show on kindness, which was a beautiful show as well, because kindness is such a beautiful thing to have. If you have kindness towards yourself and kindness towards others, you can also kill yourself with kindness and kill your others with kindness, because I know that we are so critical about ourselves. So maybe that is a nice saying, a nice statement to end this show with. It's about giving yourself the biggest kindness project. Make yourself the biggest kindness project. Be kind to yourself, because when you are kind to yourself, you're gonna have a full cup to be kind to others. So let's end this very specific, very special show, very unique conversation, and I will see you soon again, I trust. Bye bye for now.
From Stress to Authentic Success was presented by Danielle Sachs. Join Danielle at the same time next week here on UK Health Radio. And meanwhile, for more on how to thrive in business and everyday life by being true to yourself, go to daniellesachs.com.